4341790. Brass Tacks, the Tuesday edition. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. And you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir. Tell me, what's up?
Yeah, I heard, speaking of the minibus and ZR situation, of which you did a very good job of polishing it up when it came to the advertising and what's not and so on, and getting all the transportation and so on.
The advertising of what, though? Because I wasn't brushing up anything.
But they sounded to me like it was just...
Why everybody keeps saying it sounded like? What I said, sir, let me say it again clearly. What happens on the ZR van is an advertising of a lifestyle. That's not brushing it up. What I'm saying is, what happens on the... We keep calling it a ZR culture. It didn't start on the bus. It starts outside the bus and it goes into the bus because that's what they want to attract. That's what I mean by that.
Okay, sir. That is it.
Thank you.
I remembered, right?
I ain't saying it right. I just saying that's what it is.
I just remembered. I think it was in two years or long before.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Minister of Transport who came on the radio. He sent me paper. There'd be zero tolerance severe minibus and ZRs are concerned. I don't know if you remember hearing that there.
I heard that, sir. I heard that.
Yes, sir. And we keep getting this thing where people wonder why they play this lewd music, why they're not stopping at bus poles, why they're doing this, why they're doing that. We're going to run for years. This is over probably maybe 15, 20 years. Could be longer. And I come to the forum and I tell you all the time, the reason that this is existing and will always exist is because of something called conflict of interest. That's why y'all can't get nothing done in this country. Because of who owned these buses. Take a good look at it and see. Well, you got a fellow there driving and he got over X amount of convictions, different kind of there. You ain't getting locked up, you ain't getting like syntax, you know, nothing, but yet still you could go and drive a van for somebody else. That should be telling John Public something. Then you could got a system where you got transport board that's supposed to be main provider transport, which the burden main provider here recently because of lack of availability. But you could take these same vans from these same people. Or not friendly people, the people of themselves put it in place to put them on the most lucrative routes, the mashup transport board. Sir, you could come and tell me differently that we could get things worked with these people. It is impossible. And we need to take a good look at it and call a spade in this country. Or else, as the guy said just now, he ain't seen nothing really working, you know, and I ain't seen nothing working either. And as a young person, there's no light at the end of the tunnel where conflict of interest is concerned. In this country, certain people could get away with certain things. Other people have to pay the price, sir. You have a good afternoon.
Sir, you have a good afternoon, too. I heard the owner of a minibus or minibuses come on this program and said that they would like to change their bus when they drive. They don't do certain things, but other people do it. So you have to do it to compete. Now, you say it's who owned the buses and a conflict of interest. I keep hearing that, too, that... Who owned the buses? So the question is, who owns the buses? And I hear big people too, and I am not sure what big people are either, because big people have changed from time to time. And people that I thought were big really ain't big at all, and the people I thought didn't big, they're real big when I check. So I have a problem checking big people too. Well... You say it can't change. I think it can, but it's going to take a lot to change it. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Last week, me and you was having a discussion, but time was short, right?
Right, I remember that.
And we didn't have a chance to really explore in any great detail the topic in which we was referring to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to take up on that and another topic, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we was talking about the comments were attributed to this lady who is over the transport, you know, something Boeing, Roland Boeing, right?
Yes, sir.
And this crusade that she organized representing
widows.
Widows, right?
Yes, sir.
And as I was saying, when I read the article, I came to the conclusion that what she was saying about marginalizing people, it was totally wrong, totally uncalled for. I didn't want to really respond to that with you. You see, for people like Ms. Bowen, when she made this comment, she should do some research and understand who really is being marginalized in this country. Now, when a woman's husband died before she is 45 years old, I think it is, she is given some benefits, I think, for a year. I think after that, after she go over 45, I think is a bit more money that she would be getting, right? Now, at 67, and she was working, and her pension is less than what the husband was, her benefit would be. She get the higher of the two benefits. Is that so, Mr. Johnson?
There's a lady who called and said that she did just what you said.
Right. Okay. But this is the point that I want to drive home to these people. Anybody was being marginalized in this whole scenario are the men. Years ago, Mr. Johnson, the men never used to get no benefit when their wife dies before them. You understand? For years, it was like that. But always, the women always used to get money. They're called
survivors and widows benefits.
Right. No.
But there's a reason for that.
Okay, we know there's a reason for anything in this life.
No, but the reason was that because men used to work and women used to stay home and take care of the children and the house.
Right, but what I'm saying to you, mm-hmm. that women today are working, they have more jobs than men.
True.
Now, what has happened is, they change it from survival benefit to spousal benefit to include the men. The men were never included before.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody was being marginalized, it would have had to be the men, just as much as we could look back and say, one time, you know, they had, the Bureau of Women's Affairs.
And they changed it to Bureau of Gender Affairs.
The Bureau of Men Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And only one man, as far as he's concerned, as far as he remember, ever worked in this department to help in that policy and help push things for
there
the
was
men.
A man in charge right. of it at one point.
A man, that's what I tell you. One man, and as you understand, he got some oppression. He timed it up, but you know, it's for sale. But anyway, that's another story. Okay? So I just want to clarify that point. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to talk about is I've been listening to you and Mr. Mohamed Nasser over a period of time in your debates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things that sometimes Mr. Nasser does talk that, you know, it captivates the audience. He's an experienced person. I mean, I ain't too much younger than him, but I know him all my life doing great in the 60s and the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
He made a statement to you the other day, and he was saying that, I don't believe this kind of bad, but if people believe that, well, he teach people this, he changed water into wine or whatever and things. So when he come back, we could do then.
Mm-hmm.
You can remember that.
I remember that exchange, right. Yes.
I would like to tell Mr. Nasser, right? You know that we don't know about, don't talk about. Because this is how you look at it. If it is alleged or is known that man only has used a small part of his brain, are you right in saying so?
So I've heard, and I think it's true.
Okay, then. And if he was here before, and he did things before,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see it coming again.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it tell Mr. Nasser that he might open up some other parts of the brain to make people a lot better than the world?
I can't tell people what to get out of a contribution made by somebody, right?
No.
Hold on. I'll tell you why I say this. When I heard that statement from Brother Nasser, to me, what he was saying was that if Jesus has laid out a blueprint by which we should live, should we not try to do that rather than wait for him to come again and fix it? Which is what he was talking about, that people were saying that Jesus would come again to fix it, to fix our lives. And he's asking why, since he told us what to do to fix it already. Now, he may have to come. No. The other thing is, he may not have to come. He may send somebody else to tell us the message, but we may not listen to him neither. Or God may send somebody else, and we may not listen to him neither. Because we didn't listen to Jesus. We nailed him to a cross. I don't think we listen to Mahatma Gandhi, because we kill him. Or Martin Luther King, because we kill him too. But I believe they were sent with a message. I don't know who else gets sent with a message. He may not be called Jesus. He may be called something else.
Or something else, right.
But we may nail him to another cross anyhow.
Might happen again.
True.
But the fact is, we have to look at it in the way, in the light in which we believe, or who would want to believe it. But I believe that that is what obviously will happen. Because just like being a doctor, medicine, how I know it was before. You got surgeries, no people taking no bones out of people's heart.
Exactly.
Life evolves.
Right.
And we must understand these things.
Yeah,
now,
but
the other point is.
But what I was saying was that he was saying, rather than wait on him to come again to fix it, he told us what to do already. Why don't we do it?
Yeah, but we still ain't got the, remember, we still ain't opened that part of the brain yet.
You think we got to open it to fix it?
No, well, got to open. Somebody got to let me to get it open, just like how medicine is
for. So, but hold on, right? Don't forget that sometimes too much knowledge, we misuse too much knowledge too, you know. We use it to make bombs too.
Yeah, if you drive the car at high speeds and reckless, the car becomes a weapon.
That's correct.
But the car was not made,
made to be a weapon. I'm with you on that one. Totally.
Right. Now, let me finish by telling you this here, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, Mr. Nasser, I hear he was a long time now, is that when he changed his religion to Muslim, he's noticed that
did not change it to Muslim.
And he started to lose business, right? Mr. Nasser, I believe that one or two people might have done that where he was concerned, right?
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, Mr. Nasser must come to the realization and the facts of what really transpired. At that time in Barbados, the householders, the white housewives and whatever, was seeing this, we would call it now, used to make it with leatherette. These chairs, they will get a sofa and two chairs.
Mm-hmm. Upholstered furniture.
Right. And that became the craze of the people.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember correctly, that became the craze of almost every household. Mm-hmm. They wanted to bring in
upholstered furniture.
Upholstered furniture like that.
Yeah. And they got it on down payment and things.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that was the problem. So when I hear NASA saying that, you know, it's because of this, it's because of that. And the other thing is, educating people, they got a lot of black businesses gone to this country because the children did not go on, you know, take the business and carry it further. It happened with a lot of, especially black businesses.
And they had some that survived, huh? They had some that survived.
We had some that survived.
Still surviving.
Right, but we had a lot of them.
That went out of business,
Went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
The children take the money and buy a car and house and all sort of whatever thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was no succession plan going forward where this was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot look and blame people for what has happened to some of us today.
No, but, sir, you have to understand as well that there was a time in Barbados, and I'm sure you know this, because I was wrong then and I heard it, where certain names were called and things were said about them and they were put under pressure.
Yeah.
Winifred Enterprises. I remember all sorts of things being said about the gentleman because they had started this Black Businessmen's Association and people felt it was, you know, a bad thing to have around this Black Businessmen's Association was racist. And so there were subtle pressures in addition to what you talked about, which is a changing of style and the way we lived.
What we wanted.
What we wanted. We wanted.
Why did I would just say, Mr. Thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We supposed to be a tourist destination, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we find that, they say that our food, like brother and sister and whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are shifting away from the traditional way of doing it and adopting some type of style. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to do the pudding in the belly and whatever,
yeah,
thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know that there is a lady, I think it's somewhere down Black Rock side, right? That she still does it in the belly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her sales is such that she just got to do about, I think, if I read the article, I think it's 67 or 70 pounds of sweet potatoes in that.
Doing it the right way, yeah.
We're okay, mm-hmm. Right. And we must try to adopt, to maintain, not really adopt, to maintain our culture when it comes to the culinary aspect of our lives.
So what has changed in our lives, eh? That have caused people to say that this causing it and that causing it, is the way we live today. As I said to the previous caller, and somebody is backing me up on WhatsApp, when you were 15 or 16, I sure you walked a whole lot more than a 15 or 16-year-old today.
Man, you make it sport. You make it sport. You know, 15 or 16.
When you were 9 and 10 then?
6 and 7 years old.
Right. Good. I remember telling my son. Good. I remember telling my son, for example, right, that I left the garrison and ride up to Cliff Path in St. Barnabas on a bicycle to visit a young lady. And he asked me why. I tell him because he was either that or walk. And he laughed, right? Because to him, from the garrison to Cliff Path and St. Barnabas is a long way. Now, when I hear people talking about walking from the port to Bridgetown far, I smile to myself and I say nothing. Because I ain't know how far that is. Okay? When a man will leave St. Philip and walk, to Christchurch, visit a lady, then walk to one in, St. George, and visit another one and get back home and get to work in the morning. How you used to do that? Don't answer that question. So that's why you could eat pork by all of them and not get sick.
Dennis.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I've been bad.
I raised up in a village where they had a lot of men, some older than me now, some in the 70s and the 80s and whatever thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't seen a big lot of ailments by these people.
No. Sir.
I ain't seen a big lot of ailments by these people.
Lifestyle.
But we sit down in a home, in our homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And gossip, the children on computers.
And watch TV.
You've got 16 and 17-year-olds in a house, and the mother's still looking for money to pay somebody with the whack of the clean around the place. They ain't got no sheep. They ain't got no goat. They ain't got nothing to do apart from dealing with the computer and whatever and thing, right?
Mm.
And that is why you see that we got a lot of problems with the children at school. The you talking about obese, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if they walk from here to there, they drop them.
So not only that, they can't walk upstairs without breathing hard because they're tired.
And people want to try to blame. And the gentleman was talking about the schools and things. I believe that I know that some of these schools, because I see a little girl talk about it all the time. She tell me, Uncle Eric, try and eat healthy. Eat your carrots. And that is being taught in a lot
right
of schools.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, the people who goes around these schools selling,
mm-hmm.
these people are interested in the dollar.
Yeah.
So they are giving the children what they want. As a matter of fact, Mr. Johnson, I read a book years ago, Things They Don't Want You to Know About,
right.
Which it was said that the components of some of these snacks and things that we are getting, right,
mm-hmm.
is to make you hungry.
Yeah, so that you're going, yeah, but you see.
So you got to eat more.
Eat more. Look,
and you can eat more of the time.
So I had the good fortune of having a chat with a doctor in Miami years ago. And he said when he got his medical degree, he went to work on what's called a reservation to work with Native Americans. Let me call them that because I have a problem with that name, but the Native Americans. He said he saw men who were 100 years old, 90 years old, who had all their teeth, no cavities, and never used Colgate in their life. They used to grab a piece of bush and chew on it after they eat. Right? He said their children who go to McDonald's, and he particularly called McDonald's, had all sorts of issues. These fellas in them issues because they eat raw meat from a cow outside and a chicken across the yard, and you know, they shoot a rabbit and they eat it, and that is you know, and that was them. So it didn't have a problem with red meat. The red meat problem is where the children got the red meat from. No, he said when he tried to tell Americans this, they tell him he was a madman, he need to go and learn how to be a doctor, because he wasn't a doctor. He said, but he had a medical degree. It's just that the time he spent on the reservation showed him a different type
perspective
of medicine. Yeah. He said these guys would walk into the pharmacies, yes. They would pick up whatever the bottle of whatever he prescribed and look at the back and go, eucalyptus bush, and go and get the bush and pong it. They would not buy it from the pharmacy.
From the pharmacy.
Right. He said, no, he can't tell these men that they don't know medicine. If they know how to mix a poultice and put on a cut and get it to heal, just as when he put an antibiotic. He said he can't tell them that they don't know what they're doing. So he went there to learn what they knew, to complement what he learned at medical school. Now, to me, he made a lot of sense. Now, to other people, they may say he's a madman.
You see,
it just depends on what you hear.
Why the writer of this, author of this book and the drug service was in court for a lot of years? No, he canceled nothing more against them than the canceled nothing against. See, because they were saying that anything that could cure is a drug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ex-servicemen in the same drug service interviewed him years after.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when they sat down to talk, he asked the serviceman, do you suffer with acid reflux?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, but how you know? He said, don't worry about how you know. And he started to rattle off some names like Best Mall and things that he just go and buy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He tell him, listen, before you eat meal, your breakfast for the morning,
mm-hmm.
use 2 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar. Blanch the same way and dinner the same way. You know, about 6 months after,
he was clear.
He told the man, you tell me what's perfectly right for truth, yeah? So the gentleman turned and asked him, is apple cider vinegar a drug now? Have a good day, Dennis.
You too, sir. You too. Good talking to you. Brass Decks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Dennis. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I am good. I'm calling, actually in connection, the guy before he was talking, similar to what I was thinking about for a while. We need to do regulation or checking to do with some of the ingredients in the food. Mm-hmm. Barbados has the highest level of chronic disease in the Caribbean, and we're soaring with cancer. And it's unfortunate with the Honorable Santia Barshaw, and I think today with today's technology and information, she should get a considerable amount of help. But we need to do proper regulation. There are a lot of ingredients in stuff that is coming in from overseas that is not being monitored. And I'll give you a case in point. I went into a well-known supermarket chain a little over a year ago. I was looking at, because I read ingredients on everything, and there was this new flour on the shelf. And when I looked at the flour, I saw an ingredient called benzalkonium chloride.
Mm-hmm.
Benzalkonium chloride is what you put in acne medication.
Mm-hmm.
It also bleaches. And if you look at acne medication with benzalkonium chloride, you're not supposed to ingest it. Number two, you're not supposed to heat it. But it's there plain in the flour. I went to the management of that chain and told them about it. The person in that particular store went online, looked, spoke to the head office, and within a week, all of them were pulled off the shelf. I went into the market subsequently about a little over 2 months or so later, and the manager called me and said to me, come, I want to show you something. So when I went, she showed me, you believe they sent them back?
Back.
I said, but why? She said, they get the order from the head office, which is not here, to put them back on the shelf because they bought several pallets and they cannot afford to lose their money.
You know, I think it was last week, I was talking about cleaning agents. That mm-hmm. when I look at, because like you, I read labels. When I look at the label, some of them have little or no English on it at all, so I don't know what's in it. So you don't know whether to use it full strength. You do not know whether to use it with gloves. It does not say don't mix it with others, or if it says it's in some language you don't know. And we also discuss the fact that sometimes people mix cleaning agents and end up knocking themselves out because they don't know what's in it. Now, it gets even worse when you don't know, let's say, a same cleaning agent, if it gets into your mouth, what to do.
True.
If you have it in your hands after using it and you touch your eyes in there, or you clean your nose, or, you know, you touch your lips. Mm-hmm. And that's when I ask the question, what does BNSI and the other institutions that we have do? Because when we talk about how we're cutting back on government expenses and what agencies we need or don't need, the question has to be asked, are we going to compromise some of our health issues because we don't know what an agency does, or because they don't do it efficiently?
Can I give you an example?
Sure.
I, with the same flower, I call at the same BNSI.
Mm-hmm.
They directed me to health. Health directed me to the polyclinic in mm-hmm. Black Rock,
mm-hmm.
who then directed me back
to BNSI.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I found it really strange. And I said, but this thing...
Why you think I know the route? Because I've gone the same route. And that's why I talk about the effectiveness of it, and if we know what they do and what they're supposed to do. Because somebody has to be able to say in that chain, this is my concern, this is what I need to do.
Not only that, Dennis, I thought that there were regulations on importations that you're supposed to declare the content of whatever it is you're bringing in, especially food items. It's regulated in the States that you're supposed to declare all the ingredients on the item. So therefore, there should be some regulation here that you know, flags certain
things
because that is a cancer-causing agent. And if you heat it, which you're going to do with flour, you're not going to eat the flour raw.
Well, right.
It's going to do harm. And these are things that we need to look at. There's a serious problem in this island with the escalation of diabetes, cancer, and chronic diseases. And it needs to be looked at because it's costly. It's not just costly dollars, but it's costing in a human way. You're losing people. You're losing the workforce. You're losing intellect. You're losing value. And something needs to be done. We need to pull it back. And regardless of whoever gets offended or feel their pockets are going to be empty or they're not going to make... Turn the tide. Bring in stuff that's healthy.
Look,
you know, push health.
If you have a situation where you're 35 or let's say 25 to 40-year-olds are dying because of chronic non-communicable diseases...
Right.
I have a question. Who's going to buy the things you have on the supermarket shelf to make you turn a profit? The only person with profit is the undertaker.
True. And that's a thriving business now because you look in the sun, there's sun.
Yeah,
it's a thriving business.
Yeah.
And that's not right. You're losing your wealth.
Most
your wealth
productive.
Is not your pocket. It's your people.
Yep.
Have a good day. I love you.
I love you too. It's good to hear you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson, a blessed day to you, sir.
And to you too, sir.
Yes, and to your station, your family, and to our nation, of course.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Johnson, you're welcome. Mr. Johnson, can I have permission from you to pay a compliment to one of our nation's builders, a lady?
Absolutely, sir.
Okay. I want to send a special greeting to Mrs. Eloise Johnson of Orange Hill, St. James. Today she is 99 years old.
Mm.
She has 5 children in all, Lolita, Marcia, Vivian, Marson, and Vernal. And she has 17 grandchildren. She has great-grands and great-great-grandchildren.
Whoa.
Mr. Johnson, this is a lady who was not afraid of hard work. She worked in a plantation all her life, Lancaster and Westmoreland. She was not afraid of the sun, nor the rain, nor the dew. She worked tirelessly. She was a disciplinarian, and she did not stand for nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So I want today to specially compliment her on her 99 years, and may God continue to bless her and her children continue to look after her. She was a nation builder of Barbados.
Salute her as well, sir, and may she make that date with the Governor General.
I'm looking forward to it very much. Now, my other contribution is, Mr. Johnson, I want to align myself with Mr. Nasser in things that he say from time to time and even today, where his concern is that wealth of this nation is going in one direction, and he's calling for our government to ensure that 40% procurement goes to the smaller and medium-sized businesses as well. He's not talking about taking away anything from the large...
Equitable sharing of the country's wealth.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the things that he said, and one of these things that he said, which I want to really align myself to, I've never thought of it. When he said to you some time ago, his recommendation is that businesses in Barbados should give their workers shares in their companies. Mm-hmm. And I want to specially applaud him for that and wholeheartedly agree with, because it not only benefits the country, but it benefits the company and the workers. Their productivity will go up more than they can ever think. And sicknesses will reduce because the worker will see themselves as part
of the business
of that company.
Yeah. As part of the wealth of the company, yeah.
That is right. And I don't know why it is that anybody would tend to think that Mr. Nasser is talking about or was thinking about taking away something from somebody or anything like that. Far from it. That is not even his thought. And Mr. Nasser, I know of him for many, many, many years, the work that he was first into the furniture business. Mm. And I really want to wholeheartedly agree with him on that. And one of the things that I want to recommend to our government, that it is this. And we're talking about restructuring our Barbados economy. And I would like to very much see that our country stop from allowing the lifeblood of our nation, which is our money, having to go into the hands of certain people that our colonial masters had left there for us. Pass through their hands first, then to come to the nation. And I have noticed, and I'm noticing all the time, that those persons who are collecting the wealth of our people, they are holding on to it, paying it when they like and if they like, and then they're asking for government to ease them or rate it all.
But, sir, I've heard you make that comment before, and I want to engage you on it for a little bit, right? Because is it not our poor sense of how to use our authority that allows this to happen? Let me explain what I mean by that. When we were under British colonial rule, we paid our taxes. We paid our taxes because the taxman would crack the whip if we didn't pay it. When we took charge of our own affairs, we decided, we can pay it when we feel like it. And if the taxman cracked the whip, you say, you're getting on like the colonial master, you want to beat me? You're the same color as me, give me a break now. We have an issue, and I know you're referring to VAT, and I wish you would call it by your name because that's what it is. I don't think our government taxes should be collected by somebody and then we hope they give it to us. I think the system is wrong. I think if people owe, they should pay. I don't like to see notices in the newspaper saying Company X or Company Y has gone out of business, the principals have gone back overseas, and they owe National Insurance $5 million, and they owe VAT $20 million, and they owe land tax $8 million. Because It is the people of Barbados that they owe that money, you know. The people who they employed, who when they go to National Insurance to get their unemployment benefits are told, we ain't got no money for you. They ain't doing anything to the building they were in. They're not doing anything to the country they're living in. It is the citizens of Barbados that they have deprived of what's rightfully theirs. And therefore, the people who conduct our affairs on our behalf should crack the whip on them. If our collection protocols are hampered because we're waiting on them to give us a handout, we're waiting on them for a little election campaign funding, we're waiting on them to give us a little hamper to give our constituents, so we can't do them nothing because we owe them, or they're helping we pay for the car that we're driving, it's not their fault. We allowing ourselves to be exploited by them, sir?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You disagree with what I just said?
No.
So then why we don't try fixing it from our end?
I'll tell you what I...
getting ourselves under their thumb first.
Now, let me say here to you, what you said is perfectly correct. It is correct.
Okay.
But what I want to... this way, I would agree with those who are asking our government, well, that ministers be paid for the work which they do. Yes, this is why I'm... See, now people...
So they won't be at the mercy of people who want to give them things?
Yeah, Mrs. Johnson, look, now I'll say this to you, and I have no problem with government looking to penalize people who are... They know that there are things that they ought not to do, and they're being allowing themselves to be bought. But I'll tell you this, it is very difficult to ask a hungry man to watch bait for.
Agreed. I can't disagree with that. But here's the thing, right? There is something called enough that a lot of us don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you start moving the baked pork and say you had enough.
But you see, the thing is that those who have the baked pork are just fine in front of those who are hungry.
I know. Sometimes it ain't even the pork, so it's the scent of the pork being cooked in the kitchen.
Mr. Johnson, I'll tell you something that I would like to see the government do. And well, I guess the government now having all the seats in the House. I say all. They have the opportunity to transform a lot of our legislation before any person saying object. When I say objecting to it, that's on the floor of the House. And say that in order to get 2/3 majority, you have to do this and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would like to recommend that our government, the companies that collect our taxes, that the government legislate a law to tie the board of those companies into the net by saying that holding the board directors.
Didn't we have that law passed?
Responsible.
But didn't we have that law passed where we hold directors responsible for the fiduciary responsibilities of their company or something like that?
But if that has not been done, I want to see that tie in, because you see, if you tie that in there with them, they will get to and not only tie it in, but execute it.
The other point. The execution is the challenge that we have, you know, sir.
Not somebody picking up a phone and calling somebody in. I believe that we have got to have more pride and more understanding. What's the point of we saying Barbados is a well-educated country? What is the point of it? Of doing that? Huh? There's no point in we calling ourselves highly educated, and yet we can see these things glaring before our eyes. But yet, so we're doing nothing about
it. Here is where, you see, and it is something called your leverage. You have organizations, remember a company that said it was too big to fail? Right. When you have this type of arrangement where companies are called too big to fail, when you have companies that the president of the company or the CEO of the company or even the managing director, the chairman of the board, is also the chief beneficiary or the head of an organization that a minister of government belongs to. So the two of them go to X place, or two of them have interest in something else.
Yes.
Where on a quiet lunch, you could say, you know, I employ 2,000 people. You want me to send home 500 of them? And he says, well, you know, 150 of them in my constituency, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So he got leverage.
Yeah.
Now, pay is not going to remove that leverage, because that goes deeper than pay. We have to understand that in small societies like ours, we have to look at alliances. We have to look at what it is stops us from executing the law. And we have to ensure that when we put people into positions of responsibility, they are people who understand that integrity cannot be bought or sold for a few dollars more. And sadly, sir, that's a tough battle for us to fight in small societies. I hear you. I agree with your plea. And I will support you to the end on that one, sir. Because it is one of the things that, regardless of whether the party in power is you, A, B, C, D, F, or G, it has to be fixed, because we cannot continue along the road we've traveled in the last, let's say, 40 years or so. Or the 50 years of our independence is perhaps a chance for us to change the direction in which we're heading. Thank you for your contributions on this, the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I really enjoyed the engagement today. Thank you, John Stout, for things technical. And for those of you who contributed on the phone, on WhatsApp, or via email. On behalf of our team, Dennis Johnson, good afternoon.